Welcome to Let's Open God's Word, a brief preview of this week's sermon at Grace Baptist Church in Grand Bay, Alabama. I'm Paul Meredith, pastor of Grace Baptist Church, and I'm glad you're listening today. Well, tomorrow we rejoin Paul on his second missionary journey in Acts 17, and we find him in the city of Athens. He escapes to Athens from Berea. He's being pursued by those who have a great hatred for the gospel and have a great hatred for Paul, evidently. He was run out of Thessalonica, and then those from Thessalonica pursued him to Berea, and so he had to make an escape, and he ends up in Athens. He was escorted there by some people who were his supporters. And what kind of city was Athens? Athens had seen the height of its glory, of course, in the 5th and 4th centuries B.C. That was during the time when Greece was a great world power. And it was also when men like Aristotle and Plato and Socrates lived. Athens at that time, you might consider it the intellectual capital of the world. It was known for its thinkers and philosophers and writers. And by the time Paul arrived there, Greece was really no longer a power. It was under Roman domination, but Athens was still known as one of the great intellectual centers of the world. And it was in what one commentator referred to as the late afternoon of its glory, but it was still well known as an intellectual center. It was a city of great idolatry. There were graven images everywhere you looked. Someone said about Athens at that time that there were more gods than people there. And so Paul was there in Athens, and the question would become, how would he deal with this city of idolaters and intellectual elites? What approach would he take with them as opposed to the approach he had taken with more ordinary people in the other cities he had visited? Well, as it turns out, he used basically the same approach that he had been using. Should be no surprise to us, Paul was committed to that approach. We find Paul in Athens going to the Jews in the synagogue and reasoning with them from the scriptures, no doubt. And he also went into the marketplace and spoke to anyone who would listen. And what was he saying to them? Well, he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And we'll see in our text tomorrow that Paul preaches one of his greatest and best-known sermons, one of his most memorable sermons. And we'll look carefully at the content of that sermon in our message tomorrow. And we'll see what kind of success Paul had with that approach. We'll find that it wasn't quite the success that he had had in some other cities. And it seems like the fact that he was dealing with so many who were the intellectual elites, as I've said, may have had something to do with that. The Bible gives a great commentary on that. Paul himself wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians, and I have the Bible open to this passage in 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 20. Let me just read it for us today. It says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. That section of Scripture is just telling us that intellectuals, people like the ones that Paul would encounter there in Athens, they have to overcome their intellectual pride. They have to humble themselves and come to God on his terms for salvation. They have to see their need of a Savior. And that's the reason most people never come to Christ for salvation. They don't see their need of him. They think they have it all figured out. They are wise in their own eyes, which is something God warns us against in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. So let me ask you, what is the message of the gospel to you? The message that God only saves sinners on the basis of the death and burial of his Son, Jesus Christ. Is that message a stumbling block to you? Is it foolishness? I remember hearing about Carl Sagan, who was the renowned agnostic astronomer, someone who was considered one of the great intellectuals during his lifetime. And Carl Sagan, one time making his commentary on biblical Christianity, he summed it up in one word, foolishness. He said it was all just foolishness to him. I want to ask you, is that how you think of the gospel? Is that what you think of the message of salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus? Or do you see Jesus as the wisdom of God and the power of God? Paul wrote in Romans 1:16 that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because he considered it the power of God unto salvation. So I hope you'll be there tomorrow to hear this message, and we'll see Paul's faithfulness to his calling to preach Jesus Christ to anyone and everyone. If you're not a member of Grace Baptist Church and you'd like more information about the church, you can find it on this site where you're listening now, here at sermonaudio.com, or you can go to our website, gracegrandbay.com. That's gracegrandbay.com. We'd love to see you in our worship service tomorrow. I want you to consider this your personal invitation to come be with us. You'll find that we have a very relaxed atmosphere. There's nothing to be concerned about. You're not going to be singled out or called on in any way. You can just come and be there with us as we worship the Lord tomorrow. And we want you to come and be with us. We'd love to see you there. And all of our folks would as well. If you're not able to be with us tomorrow, you can come back to this site on Monday, and you will be able to find the sermon that we preach tomorrow. So you can come back here to sermonaudio.com and hear that message. Well, thank you for listening today. I hope to see you tomorrow in church. And when we gather, let's sing, let's pray, let's hear the scripture read, and let's worship the Lord together. And when it's time for the preaching, let's open God's Word.
Try to preach the word.